So now you've learned some Hebrew. Jehovah Shekinah, the Lord, our righteousness. And in that hymn, they were singing that it meant nothing to me, but now it means everything to me. And I think sometimes we think of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we focus in on the bits that find most easy to understand. And then there are other bits that we perhaps don't think about so much. Perhaps we just accept them without thinking too deeply about them. And then we perhaps don't repeat the bits that are there in the Bible, but because we haven't taken it into our own lives, we don't emphasize it as much. So if I said to you tonight, Christ will come to judge the living and the dead as an essential part of the good news, would you agree with me? If you were sharing the good news with your friends, would you say, it's good news because God is coming to judge the living and the dead? I think that many people, many Christians would perhaps say that's a truth, but I'm not sure it's good news. Sounds a bit scary. But in Psalm 96, it says these words, let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in truth. What this psalm is saying is, let's throw a party because God is coming to judge. And I think that disconnects with the spirit of the age. That truth, that celebration song completely disconnects with the spirit of the age in which we live. Because the spirit of the age in which we live is to say, let's not be judgmental. Let's not say there's right and there's wrong. But if you take that too far, you end up like where we are in the White House at the moment, where someone has won an election, and the person who's lost the election keeps tweeting, I won it, by the way. And the whole world is in chaos. Or the whole nation's in chaos. And they're thinking in a few weeks' time, there's supposed to be one person moving out of the White House and another person moving in. And there's 73 million people that voted for the person that lost. And they're saying, stop the steal. Do you think truth matters? If the world was realigned on truth, would that be a cause of throwing a party? You see, if we want truth, then we need to have a source of that truth. If we want an end to all evil and injustice in the world today, then there needs to be a source to which we look to. And the source is God, who is righteous. God, who is holy. The alternative is to have a God who says, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether we speak truth or we speak lies. It doesn't matter how we treat one another. It doesn't matter how we treat the earth that God has given us. But what God is saying is, It does matter because he created us to reflect his glory. And yet, in the passage that Alison has read to us, it says that all human beings have sinned and have fallen short of God's glory. It says that there is no one, not even one. So I can make an indirect comment about President Trump tonight, but I've got to be careful, because if I point the finger at him, someone's going to point the finger back at me and say, wait a minute, Alistair. We noticed that you did this and you did that, and I know that I'm not innocent. I'm not 100% consistent. Speak to my wife. She'll give you a list very quickly. And so this scripture says, not even one. And the scripture also says that if we want to live under the law, then all of us are guilty, every single one of us. And this is good news that God is coming to put the world right, but what about putting me right before he comes, please? God, would you put me right before you come again? You're coming to put the whole world right, and I celebrate that, but I know that I'm not right. There's things that need to change in my life, and I know I'm not innocent. So where's the hope for us? Where is the hope? He's coming to judge the living and the dead. And he's coming. I'll tell you where the hope is, friends. The hope is in who is doing the judging. You see, read with me John 5. There's a short reading in John 5, which is the words of Jesus himself. John 5, verse 24. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you that a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. So the good news, friends, is that the person who's doing the judging is Jesus Christ. Has there ever been a person like Jesus? There hasn't, has there? And I remember being in the Sistine Chapel in Rome. And in the Sistine Chapel, there's a huge painting done by Michelangelo of the Final Judgment. And it is like all artists, there's a lot of artistic impression there. And it's very, very strong on the terror. It is a terrifying picture of the final judgment and the separation. And I'm in the Sistine Chapel and looking at this picture, and it's a terrifying picture. And I thought I would just get myself in to a moment where I could just reflect, and I just ended up managing to find a quiet slab or a seat, and I just sat down. And then I looked at the picture, and there was a table with a cross on it, a little cross. And I was able to see the picture of the final judgment through the cross. And you see, that changes everything. Because the one who is going to judge us when he returns is the one who came and had nails in his hands and in his feet, who bled and died for you and for me. And he is the one who's doing the judging. He's the one that has taken all the injustice. He has taken all the abuse. He has taken all the humiliation. He has carried all the misunderstandings of others. He has had lies spoken against him. That's the one who's doing the judging. And God the Father has given God the Son that wonderful, wonderful role. He's in the highest place now, ascended to heaven. And what Jesus is saying is that he's coming back and everyone's going to be judged. And it's when we hear his voice. Now, there isn't time tonight to go into all the details, but it's right at the end of time. And if you're alive at that moment, then you'll be taken up into judgment with him. But if you're dead, you'll be raised to life. And what the scripture is saying, that Jesus is going to call the dead to life and then to judgment. There's three passages. There's the one in John 5, there's Matthew 24, which is the one about the sheep and the goats, and there's Revelation 20, verses 11 to 20. And all three of these passages say something which is really quite challenging. It says that we will be judged according to what we do and what we don't do. I'll say that again. We will be judged according to what we do and according to what we don't do. I'm just quoting the scripture. Jesus says in Matthew 24, "For as much as you did it for the least of these, my brothers, you did it for me. For as much as you did not do it for the least of these, my brothers, you did not do it for me." Jesus says here, those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Again, you have that doing good, not doing good. And then Revelation 20, verses 11 to 20, talks about the great throne of judgment. And it says, you will be judged according to what you have done. Now, we don't preach this very often, do we? Because we preach the gospel, which is that we are declared not guilty through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for us, and we are declared not guilty, because the Bible says that very clearly. So how can we square the fact that Jesus is going to judge us on what we have done and what we haven't done, and the fact that the Bible says that we are declared not guilty through faith in Jesus the Son? And this is where the good news comes. The good news comes is that God is righteous. God's Son is righteous. And God has asked his Son to come to this earth and to reflect his character and his glory, and Jesus did it. Jesus perfectly kept all the moral law, all the Sermon on the Mount. He kept it 100%. He was completely obedient. He never flinched from any difficult thing that God his Father asked him to do. Jesus was completely obedient. He was righteous from start to finish. And it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 10 that we shall be saved through his, finish the sentence, we shall be saved through his death, life. It says in Romans 5:10 that we'll be saved through his life. So often we preach that we'll be saved through the death of Jesus, but Romans 5:10 says we'll be saved through his life. And what does that mean? If Jesus had not lived a completely obedient, sinless life, then his death on the cross would not have saved us. But Jesus lived a perfect, righteous life. We have not lived a perfect, righteous life. Like Adam and all who followed, we have fallen short of God's glory. But Jesus, the second Adam, Jesus, the last, he was perfect. And that is so important. Are you depending for your salvation on your good works? We depend on the good works of Jesus. And that is what I want to be absolutely clear about. It's that his perfect life, his perfect righteousness is given to us as a gift. That's what it means in when it says that we are declared righteous through faith in him. That God looks at us perfect, sinless, spotless. Hear these words from Jude, that God is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Is that because God says it doesn't matter how you've lived? No, it doesn't. He's saying it matters so much that I would send my precious only son to die for you. And because he was completely faithful and true right to the end, his death on the cross has freed you, has forgiven you, and you can have all of that as a gift. You can have all of that as a gift. So in that song that we just sung, it said, the Lord, our righteousness meant nothing to me. I hope tonight that you will ponder with a sense of wonder that Jesus Christ never sinned. He always kept the will of God. And then he went and he died for you and for me. That his righteousness becomes our righteousness. And that's what Jeremiah is speaking about. He's saying that in the future, a one who is coming will be the Lord, our righteousness. Now, there's one thing to say tonight. I believe Jesus was a good man. But could you say tonight that his truth, his love, his selflessness, his obedience to the Father, it wasn't just good, it was a matter of life and death for me and for you. Can you say tonight, Jesus Christ, my righteousness. Jesus Christ is my righteousness because I've received from God what he has given to me as I put my faith in him. And this is where the word grace comes in. We don't deserve it. We receive it as a gift. The final scripture to show you, which sums it all up in one verse, is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. It says earlier in the chapter that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him for the things done while in the body, whether good or for bad. That's what it says in verse 10. All of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and all of us must receive what is due to us for the things done, whether good or bad. But then in verse 21, it says this, and this is what I want you to go home with this truth ringing in your ears. You see, it's good news because God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to become sin for us, to be crucified, to be judged, to be punished in our place, so that through faith in him, we might be declared not guilty. We might be declared righteous. And that is why the same Apostle Paul says in Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so for us tonight, as we think about where we've been, understanding who Jesus is, the only true, the only Son of God, our Lord, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, who died, was crucified, was buried, but on the third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. And if we have recognized our own unrighteousness and have repented and asked for his forgiveness and have trusted in the gift of his Son, then his obedience will cover us. His righteousness will cover us. And that is wonderful, wonderful news. What could I ask you to take home as a one-liner? And it's simply these words. Maybe these words will bore into your heart this week, and that you might want to pray about this. Can you say, I worship you, Lord, because you are righteous, and I am glad that you are righteous, and I am glad that you are holy, and I know that I'm not. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you were perfectly obedient. I trust in your life. I trust in your death. And I receive your gift I receive your words over my life. Can it be true that I could be called not guilty? Could it be true that I could be blameless and pure and spotless? Yes, because the Bible says it. Can you say, and this is the one-liner, the Lord is my righteousness? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for all that we have shared here this evening. We thank you for this church in Glasgow, in Barlarnock. We thank you for the people who were baptized in that video, who were able to say that they had repented of their sins and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the fact that no matter how desperate life gets, no matter how dark things become, that there is new life and new growth which comes through Jesus Christ. We thank you for Willie's transformation. We thank you that that is a visual message to all of us, that we can call out to you from that place of brokenness and humility and find powerful new life. Father, we pray that for our own lives. We pray that for our church and community. And we say finally, Lord, you are beautiful, you are true, you are righteous. Come into our lives tonight and make us like you through faith by your generous grace. Watch over all of us this week, Lord. Protect us, guide us. For your glory, help us to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.